You're going to have to bring me up just a little bit. I like to hear myself just a touch. Check. Right there. That sounds good. I can deal with that. Well, are you guys excited about tonight? You know, I will tell you, this is not necessarily my favorite part of what I do with speaking, because I'm not a big fan of speaking to brand new people, okay? If I'm preaching, I like to kind of preach to people where I can kind of, you know, like Pastor says, I almost kind of read your mail a little bit. You know, I'm kind of like speaking. I'm like, okay, God, I know you're talking to this person or that person. And then I got a bunch of people looking at you going, what is this bald-headed, bearded guy doing, right? So tonight, really quick, before we get going, I just want to get all the stress, all the anxiousness out of the way, okay? So for the next 2 seconds, I want you just to go, "Low!" as loud as you can, okay? And I don't want Pastor Tommy being the loudest one, okay? I know he can be loud, but just like for 2 seconds, just get that out really quick. You ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Loud! All right, that's it. That was longer than 2 seconds now. Come on. 1, 2. It's counting. It's really easy. 1, 2, stop. Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm picking on you. All right. So, hey, we broke the ice, okay? We broke the ice. Now you guys are good with me. I'm good with you, right? We got a little anxiousness out of the way. All right? You all ready to hear the word tonight? All right. Hey, so we can get this out of the way, too. If you want to go ahead and open your Bibles. There you go. Now you got two screams in. Now you know that I'm going to want you to be participating when I'm preaching. So if I don't hear any amens from the amen corner over here, I'm going to start looking to some people over here, maybe like this lady over here who wanted to shout for an extra 5 seconds. I'm going to start looking at her like, okay, come on, give me something, because my amen corner ain't helping me, right? Oh, man, this is going to be fun. Before I get started, let me just say a couple of things. Like Pastor Tommy had said, my name is Brian Harris. You just saw my wife. We do have two kids, Abby and Eli. Eli's birthday is Friday. So this Friday will be his birthday. So he's excited about that. He's like, woke up today. He's like, it's my birthday week. And I said, oh, you don't get one this year. And he, you know, he freaked out on me. But, but you know, it's, I just want you to see, this is us. You know, this is our family. We like to be goofy. We like to be loud. My wife loves to be loud, as you can tell already. She likes to be loud. J-Bae's shaking her head in the back. She's like, yes. You know, my wife loves to sing. That's one of the things that she does. Pastor Tommy, I'm telling you right now, if you just want to come to the house, if I see your car, I know you're probably there sitting there listening to her play the keyboard, because I just know that's what he's going to be, you know. Just make sure that Miss Beth brings lasagna and we're fine, okay? We're good. Anna likes to sing and I like to eat. We're good. But let me say this. I just want to say, number one, thank you, Pastor Tommy, for giving me this opportunity. I really do appreciate it. I value our friendship more than you know. And Miss Beth and Michael and Aunt, even though he's not here and I never even met you, maybe you'll hear it, but you know, hey, it's cool. And then to you guys, just thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to be here tonight. I really do appreciate it. And I don't take getting to speak and getting this platform and this stage and this podium, I don't take it for granted anytime I ever come up. So thank you so much. Tonight, I have a message that I'm titled it, Time to Go. A time to go. Now, when we read, and I'm not going to ask you guys to stand, so you're great where you are, but if we read in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18, it's going to say this, and you don't have to stand, honestly, seriously. You do not have to stand. Okay, just stand. Go ahead. Just do it. Go right on ahead. All right, it says, he said to them, go into all of the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Let's just stop right there. And we're going to look at the word all. Now, if I said to you all, what do I mean by the word all? All. I didn't say all, but only mean one or two or ten. I said all. And the Bible says all. Go to 16, it says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Go to the next one. 17, it says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, and they will speak in new tongues. And they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Let's pray. God, I thank you, God, for this word. I thank you for what you're about to bring forth to us. I pray, God, that you would hide behind the cross, that I would not be seen, but they would see you in every word, that we would hear what you have to speak. God, I pray for open ears, God, open minds, and ready people to receive your word. In your name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Let's look at one part of this. We already talked about what the word all means. All means all. All means everything, everyone. Let's look at another word. We're going to look at the word condemned. It's right there on 16. It says, whoever does not believe will be condemned. I looked up that word condemned, and then the word means judged. I'm going to tell you something, folks. When that word judged comes up, that word judged does not mean that we are going to judge people. That word means that God is going to judge people. There are too many people standing around judging somebody for an idea or for a thought or for something that they've done that we're all the time looking to judge somebody else. This society that we live in these days, they're so worried about equal rights and equal opportunity and equal this. But you know what happens when somebody doesn't believe in that? It's great if you're on their side. If you're not against them, on their side, and you're against them, they're judging you. When the church says that this is not right, that we're not going to stand for this to happen, all of a sudden, we become the one that they're judging. It's not about whether they're doing something right or wrong. It's about the fact that we don't agree with what they're doing. And because we don't agree with what they're doing, they're judging us. They're judging us when really God is going to judge their thoughts, their decisions. Amen? So the passage says that God will be the one who judges. It's not the church's decision. It's not the church's time to judge them. In fact, it tells what the church's decision is supposed to be. In the very beginning, in verse 15, it says for us to go into all the world and preach to all creation. Period. That's it. That is exactly what we are to do. We are not to go and judge somebody. We're not to go and say this or say that. We are to go and do what God has called for us to do. Now, there's too many people looking around. They're going, okay, let's tell me about this passage. So let me tell you this. This here is Jesus speaking. Jesus told the disciples just before he went up to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. This is his instructions to them. Now, the disciples were people, men who followed Jesus. They watched what he did. They saw how he spoke. They saw who he spoke to. He talked to people that he wasn't supposed to talk to. People touched him who weren't supposed to touch him. Pastor talked about it this morning. The lady came in with the alabaster box. She should not have been able to touch Jesus in a normal world situation. But he allowed her to anoint him when nobody else would do it. When nobody else is to go out and see and speak to somebody that's doing something they shouldn't be doing, and I'm downsizing that just a little bit because there's kids in the room, the church's job is not to go and tell them that they're in sin. Because guess what? They already know. It's not news to them. They know that they're in sin. But he told the disciples to go and preach the good news. Now, I talked to Jay Bay yesterday, and we were talking, and she was telling me a situation, and I told her I was pretty much the same way. We are very visual learners, right? Any other visual learners? You learn better by having somebody show you what to do, okay? Is there anybody who could just pick it up and just be like, I know what I'm doing, and throw it all together? Anybody like that? Anybody that would rather just look at a book and just read out of the book, and then it's right there? Okay, there's some there too. All y'all women who raise your hands, I hope it's a cookbook. That's all I'm saying. Okay? Because I want it. Whatever it is, you know, work good. You just make it and bring it over. As for me, I'm going to have to watch somebody do it first, and then we're good. All right? So a couple of months back, I was having a problem with my dryer. It wasn't working. It wasn't doing what it's supposed to be doing. And I was like, this thing's only blowing cold air. I had no clue what the problem is. So I call a couple people. I call my father-in-law. I call my stepdad. I call this person, and I'm like, I don't know what it's doing. It's only blowing cold air. What do I do? You know, when sometimes when you call somebody for advice, and you call three different people, and three different people have three different problems, three different solutions to your problem, that doesn't help anything. Because too many times, if you look and you call three people and two of them say the same thing, then it's like, okay, two out of three majority rules, that's what's going to happen. I was in worse shape with that dryer than I was when I started. Because I thought, man, this dryer's got a cold now. Come on now. That was funny. That was a joke. It's blowing out cold air. It has a cold. Come on. Some of you just now got it. Some of you will take you a little while to get it. You'll be driving home tonight and be like, it had a cold. Okay, really. Whew. All right. But I had this dryer that wasn't working, and I was like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what to do. And one of them said, well, maybe there's a sock stuck in the thing that's keeping it from blowing hot air. Okay. Well, one of them said, maybe it's this or maybe it's that. So I get off of the phone, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I tell my wife, I'm like, I don't even know what the problem is. I said, I've talked to too many people that have too many answers. And right now, a lot of times that's what we do. When we have a problem, instead of going to the source of the answer, you want to look for somebody else that's got the answer that you're trying to find. You could be having a problem with finances, and instead of going to God for the solution, you walk over to this person and say, what do I do? But you didn't know that 2 years earlier, they had just filed for bankruptcy, and they're not that great with money anyway. You could go to this person and think, man, they got it all figured out. But then all of a sudden, you figure out, that wasn't even the right answer. My daughter does homework all the time, and I'm trying to help her with the answer. And I said, tell me what this answer is. And she says, the wrong answer. And I go, no, that's not right. And then what's she do? She starts drawing for straws. You know, what's 10 times 5? 49. No, it's not. 48. 47. Stop, because now you're guessing. At this point, you don't know it. You don't know it, right? So here I am with this dryer, and I have no clue what to do. So I decided to do what I thought was the best possible option. I went online. Oh, Lord. There's a whole nother problem right there, right? Because when you go online, now you have 15,000 people with a problem and 15,000 experts who think they know what they're talking about. But we do that. We do that with us. We decide that all of a sudden, I'm just going to go see what the internet says. Don't find what your symptoms are online, okay? Because by the time you get done, that stubbed toe's broke, needs to be amputated, and all you did was stub it just a little bit. It's going to be fine. Give it about 15 minutes, the swelling will go down, and you'll be all right. If you look online, they're telling you, do this, do that, do that, do that. So I'm like, man, I can't do this. I don't know what to do. So I finally looked and I was like, whatever this next one says, that's what I'm taking. Whatever the next one says, that's what I'm going to do. So it said, you need to make sure you have your model number. You need to make sure you have this. I'm like, okay. So I'm going and I'm looking up all the information. And it said, if it's not working, did you clean out the vent? So I cleaned out the vent and made sure it was all right. And that was fine. It was still blowing out cold air. I could feel cold air outside. I was like, okay, you know, feels like I had the air conditioner blowing outside. So I finally, I'm like, okay, let me check this. It says, try the heating element. Now, when something's blowing out cold air and it's supposed to blow out hot air, something's got to heat up that air, right? So I'm like, okay, let me try that. So I call this guy and I'm like, hey, do you have this? And he's got all these parts. And he goes, that's the only one I don't have. So now I'm having a hard time finding the one part that I think could be the problem. I get the part. I go home. I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, here's this thing. And there's no instructions in the box. What am I going to do now? So I called up my friend. And I said, friend, I need some help. And my friend answered and said, hello, this is YouTube. And I went to YouTube and I found this guy. And he found out, he told me exactly what to do. How to take the back panel off. What I needed to do. The exact screws, the exact bolts. Everything that was going to have to come off of that. And then what had to go back? You see, sometimes when we take stuff off, we can take it off, but when we try to put it back on, we don't put it in the right place. So it made sure that I put it back on right. So I get it all connected, I put it together, and I get it all ready, and I'm like, okay, I'm not that dumb that I'm going to put this all back together and then turn it on and it not work. So it's like, the guy said, be careful, don't put your hand there when it's on because it's going to get hot. And I was like, well, duh, it's a heating element. I'm like, okay, so I know it's going to get hot. So I said, okay, I'm going to watch this. So I get it on, and I put it on, and I tell my kid, I said, plug that in, push the button, and it should start. All of a sudden, hot air comes off, and I'm like, hallelujah. You know, because I'm like, great, I did it. So I put it all back together. I look at my wife, and I walk in. I'm like, that's right. That's right. I did it. I fixed that. I was like, who's the man? And she goes, just go. Just get out of here. Because she doesn't want to look at me like that, right? She's like, whatever. But I watched somebody else do it. The disciples had watched Jesus. For so long, they had watched Jesus. And when he left them to go sit at the right hand of the Father, he looked at them and said, now go do exactly what you just saw me do. Now, stop. They had no clue what to do. He told them, and what did they do? I think I'm going to go back fishing now. But he told them what to do. He gave them the exact thing to do. Go and preach the good news to all creation. Period. End. Story's over. Go. So the question you may want to know tonight is this. First of all, what is the good news? I can break it down to you really easy. The good news is Jesus came to bring life. Jesus died so that you can live. Jesus rose again and is still alive today. And he's coming back again. Four things. That's it. Four. One, two, three, four. Done. Why is it that when we as the church go out to the outside of these doors to preach to people, the first thing we do is tell a sinner they're sinning, and the second thing we do is ask people for their money? Now, get me right. Call sin, sin. You should call sin, sin. Sin is sin. If you're doing it, it's sin. I'm going to call a spade a spade. Okay? I'm not going to say that that wall is blue when it's gray or whatever color that is. I'm just glad I'm not colorblind. Well, that's like a... it's blue on the bottom. That is not the dress on Facebook, okay? Anyway, I can't look at him. He, like, makes me laugh, and that's terrible. And I'm not saying that going out and asking for money is a bad thing. But when we go out and that's the first thing they see, and they don't see us doing anything with what they've given us, they're going to stop giving us money. You see, here's the thing. The harvest is out there. I've heard it a lot of times. The harvest is out there. Sometimes we don't even understand the harvest isn't in here. The harvest isn't in here. It's out there. So what are we doing staying in here all the time? We were told to go and preach. We didn't get told to come in and sit here. We were told to go and preach. So if we're told to go and preach, that means sometimes you might have to pick up your feet and walk out the door. You might have to get in your car and drive a little bit to get to where God wants you to go. I'm going to tell y'all one thing really quick. If you have ever gone to, when I say these places, I just want you to raise your hand, okay? Let's try Walmart. Anybody ever been to Walmart? Anybody ever been to work? Keep your hand up. Any ever been to work? How about McDonald's? How about Applebee's? Okay, so pretty much everybody's hand is up. This guy don't go nowhere. He's like not raising his hand. He's like, nope, I don't go anywhere. She don't let him out. That's what it is. But when you go out, you are to do what? Go and preach. You can preach to the lady that's checking you out at Walmart. You know how you preach to the lady checking you out at Walmart? When you got that God's Got This t-shirt on, and she looks at you and goes, hey, nice shirt. You say, yeah, well, it's true. Whatever God says, whatever's going on, God's got it. That's it. Period. Done. You're done. You don't have to go into a big, long sermon, 15 pages, going into the aisles being crazy. When you go out into the world, you carry God on you. So you take him with you. Pastor just came back from Louisiana with a whole group of people. You took God to Louisiana to a place that was hurt. And they saw God through you because you were doing what he had asked for you to do, which was to go. He said, go. Go and preach to everybody. So you look at me and you may say, well, who's everybody? Everybody is every person from teenager to young adult to children to grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads. And it's everybody. But the church is the one who has decided we're going to pick and choose who we're going to speak to. We're the ones who are going to pick and choose who needs it and who doesn't. Several years ago, I was in a program called Master's Commission, and I was in Kansas City, Kansas, Overland Park, Kansas. Most of you probably know where that is. There's a big church there up on I-35 in Antioch right there, and that's where I went. So I was really close to here, but I didn't know anything about this little place, right? We went down to the plaza. And it was a guy's night and a girl's night. And the guys decided we're going to go down to the plaza. We're going to walk around. We went into the Barnes & Noble, and we went into a couple places. We're walking down the road, down the middle of the sidewalk. And this guy stops us, and he goes, you guys are going to hell. And we just stopped. Now, the funny thing is, let me set this picture for you. Master's Commission is a ministry training school. Now, we're all going. We're all reading Scripture. We're all studying Scripture. We're all going to Bible college. This is our job. We do this. We go to schools and preach positive message and then go to the church the next night or the same night and preach Jesus and saved kids come up to the altar and get saved. We have times where we just see kids all over the place. We were constantly breaking bricks and blowing stuff up and just having fun so that way we could get an opportunity to speak to just one kid. If one kid got saved, it was worth it. So this guy looks at us and he says, "You're all going to hell. Unless you change your ways, you're going to hell." And we all stood there and we stopped, and there's like me and about four other guys, and we just stopped. And we kind of did that whole like deer in the headlight look to this guy. Kind of like, this guy is clueless right now. And I looked at him, and he kept just going and going and going and going. And finally, he looks and he says, "What do you say?" And I said, "How's it working for you?" And he goes, "What?" I said, "How is that working for you? I said, how's this message working for you?" He goes, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "All of us are in ministry school to be pastors and youth pastors and worship leaders and to be business people that are going out and being able to preach wherever God gives us an opportunity." I said, "And the first thing you did is judged us because we're four or five guys walking down the middle of a sidewalk." His approach was terrible. And too many times, that's what the people outside of this place see. They see everybody in the church. It's just pointing fingers and blaming them, everybody. I'm going to tell you right now, if I didn't know any of you, I don't know if I'd be able to pick out if you were saved or weren't saved just by standing around. Because that's not my job. My job is to go to you and speak God to you, to speak Jesus to you, to speak positive thoughts to you. So this guy just kept going. He finally looked at me and I said, "How many people have you talked to tonight?" He said, I can't remember. I said, "How many people have you gotten saved tonight?" And he goes, "None." And I said, "It's because of your approach. Our approach is to go and speak to everybody, to go and share God with people. But guess what? Like Pastor talked about today, unless we got the anointing in us to know and discern who it is that we're going to talk to, we can't go. We can go out there without the anointing following us. We can go out there without the Spirit telling us exactly who to speak to and what we need to say. But guess what? We're going to be saying stuff to the choir. We're going to be preaching to the pastor at Walmart. And the pastor's going to look at you and be like, "You need to go back to school, buddy." We're told to go. Go and preach to everybody. I said it once, I'll say it again. Sinners already know that they're sinners. Poor people already know that they're poor. The rich people already know that they're rich. This isn't a surprise. I already know that I'm a dad with two kids. If you came to me and said, "You're a dad with two kids," I'd be like, "What? No, I already know that. I know I got married 10 years ago. Okay, I know. You don't have to tell me I'm married. But what I'm asking for you to do is to tell me the truth about God." And that's what people outside of these four walls are doing. They're saying, "I want to know about God, but I don't need you to tell me about my sin. I just want to hear that there's something better than where I'm at. I just want to hear that there's something better going on than this right here." Jesus told them to go. You see, out there is the harvest. The harvest is there. When we go out there and we take the harvest that's out there, the saved will come. The unsaved will come. The finances to take care of it will come. We're just to go and do it. You see, sometimes we look and we go, "Well, there's no money in the budget this week." I thought it was really funny this morning when Pastor said that it was Mission Sunday. I started laughing. I was like, here I'm talking about going, and we're talking about missions. Where would we be if we didn't have missions? Where would we be if we didn't have people that were there to say, you know what? I want to go to this place, and I want to speak to these people. My daughter is going to be 11. She's 10. She's going to be 11. I got the numbers right. Okay, good. Sometimes I mess them up, and, you know. So she feels like that God is calling her to go. She feels like she has a call to go to Africa. And every time she sees Africa or somebody says Africa, her face just lights up. Because God has called her to go to Africa. So somehow within the next 2 years, I have to figure out how I'm taking this girl to an Africa missions trip. Because she said at 13 years old, she's supposed to go to Africa. And I found out already that it's supposed to be on a Monday. So now I really got to be figuring it out, because I got to figure out what Monday at 13 years old I got to be taking this girl to go to Africa. But you see, here's the thing. When God calls you to a place, he puts you in the place where he wants you to go. He takes care of you when you're supposed to go to those places. He told them to go and preach to everybody. Last week, I listened to the podcast. Last week, Pastor Tommy talked about the lady that had came in who wasn't dressed just right. She stood in the back, and the lady looked at her and she said, "Don't you know that all the guys are looking at you?" What would have happened if she would have left right then? What would have happened if she'd have walked out and said, "You know what? This church thing's not for me. They're not going to accept me the way that I am, so I'm not going to go. I'm just going to leave. I'm not going to go up to the altar. I'm not going to get my heart right. I'm not going to live for God. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to leave." Where would she be now? Would she even be here? Would he have ever had that connection with that lady? Would he ever have had that conversation where she told him about what had happened to her? I would probably venture to say, probably not. Because as soon as we start putting limitations on who God can reach, it stops God from flowing when it's time for us to see that happen. You want to see God do something awesome in you? Allow him to bring people into your path that aren't all 100% just the way you want them to be. Here's one thing you need to know about me. My job, Pastor Tommy's job, your job, is to preach good news. God will do the rest. The Gaithers have a song, and I love the Gaithers. I was raised with a country background and bluegrass, and I love it. The Gaithers have a song, and it's called "I Catch 'Em and God Cleans 'Em." We have anybody that likes to fish in here? Come on. How many people know the fishing's the best part, right? Cleaning the fish is not the most fun. In fact, some of y'all don't even like to clean them. You just throw them back. You're like, forget this cleaning stuff. I'll go get my meat at Walmart, and I'll just catch the fish out here. Because it's a whole lot easier. I went on a fishing trip a couple weeks ago, and I got an electric fillet knife, and we had just bought a new one because the last one had burnt out, and we were going through it and trying to get the fish done, and I had a whole bucket full of fish, and I'm picking them up, and I'm slicing them and throwing them up and getting them all done, and I looked, and I timed myself, and it took me 8 minutes, and I was like, man, that's pretty good. My grandpa looked at me, and he goes, "I'm glad you're doing that because I hate this job," and I said, "Well," I said, "you know, it's just something I've learned from you," that visual learning thing again, you know. And he looked at me and he goes, "You do it better than I ever did it." If we have the same power that Jesus had. And he told us to do the same thing that he did. Don't you think he's going to let us do it the way that he did it too? Here's the thing. You got to understand that you can reach people that I will never get to reach. There's not a bunch of teenagers in here. I kind of wish that there was a whole house full of teenagers tonight. Because here I am coming to be the youth pastor and there's no teenagers. I'm going to tell you right now, when I get over there, I'm going to be pushing Sunday night. Just like I push Sunday morning. Because God's still going to move. God's got something big going on. I was talking to Pastor. I said, man, I'm excited. And he goes, it's just, there's a feeling that there's something getting ready to just and move and change. And something's getting ready to turn. It started this morning. It's starting tonight. Something's getting ready to move. So why is it that we're only coming one day a week? When I was a kid, I got in trouble by my dad. Because when I was in youth, I would go to church. On Monday night, we had youth. On Tuesday night, we did something. Wednesday night, I was at another youth group. Thursday night, I didn't have anything because I was trying to do homework. Friday night, I was out doing youth stuff with youth people. Saturday, I was doing youth stuff. And then two services on Sunday. You know why I got in trouble? I got in trouble because I was with youth people all the time. And he looked at me and goes, I don't understand. And I said, my job is to go out and speak to people. I got called into the youth ministry when I was a teenager. So all I wanted to do was be around my youth pastor so he could show me what to do. So he can give me a little bit of an idea. I learned some good things from my youth pastor, and I've learned some bad things from my youth pastor. I learned some stuff that I probably don't want to incorporate in my youth ministry. There's times, and I'll tell you, there are times when youth pastors can be very clicky. Because the teenagers are clicky. Whoop. Good thing you put that lid back on there. I think that was Aiden. Good job. You saw me getting ready to kick that. You put that on there. I appreciate you. But youth pastors can be so clicky at times. And they decide, I'm not going to hang out with this kid. And I'm going to pour into this kid. I'm going to tell you something tonight. My job is not to be like the one before me. My job was not to be like Pastor Tommy. My job is to be me, who God created me to be. So I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you see a youth kid here that looks just a little bit different, don't start going, oh Lord, we don't want him here. Because that's going to be the first conversation that you have with me is, I'm called to go. And if you're not following in that, then you need to go back and read the scripture and listen to the podcast of what I preached about the first night you heard me preach. My job is to go out there and get them in here. And once they're in here, God will take care of the rest of it. So what? So what if their arms are, their sleeves are cut out of their arms? So what? So what if they walk in with their hat on backwards? What are you going to do the next 2 weeks when their hat's backwards and then the next week they have it turned frontwards? And then 2 weeks from that, they don't even have a hat on because they go, you know what? That's a respect issue. If you start nitpicking at the very beginning with the hat backwards, you'll never get to the point where they don't wear it at all. I learned one thing in youth ministry. Is I have to have fun with them before they're going to cry with me. If I don't make them laugh and I don't have fun and we don't spend time together goofing off, they're never going to stand in front of me and pour out what's wrong with them and how they're having a hard day and be able to have me pray for them and break the stuff that's going on. These teenagers have so much stuff going on in their lives right now that when they get it, they don't know how to process everything. You adults, you've been through the situations. Pastor Tommy said, he may ask you to do something. They're not going to kill you. I ain't going to kill you, I promise. I'm just going to tell you one thing. When I ask for help, there's a reason. It's because your situation that you went through can help that student. And when I say, hey, Marilyn, I'm going to need you to help me, because this girl wants to be a nurse. So why would I put her with the guy who's a mechanic than to put her with the lady who's a nurse so that she can talk to her and get her talking? It's better for me to give her somebody that she can relate to than to give her somebody that has no clue what she's going through. To follow God is to go and preach the word. Look at Matthew 28:19. Should be there. Down at the bottom almost probably. I skipped the other ones, I'm sorry. I might go back to them. Just be ready. Matthew 28:19, it says this. Now listen, here's what you need to understand. We read in Mark, at the very end, when Jesus got ready to go up, this is Matthew's account of the same exact thing. Matthew speaking to a totally different group of people. He's speaking to the Jews. So he gets it to a way that they can understand it. And this is what he says. Go. That word's the same. That word go is the same in Matthew and Mark. It's the same word. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go and make disciples. How do you make disciples? First you have to go, then you make disciples. You can't make a disciple out of people who aren't standing here. I can't make a disciple out of people in the first five rows if the first row has nobody there. Now, I can make one if I move that row out, because he really wanted to sit in the front row this tonight. He told me this. He said he'd be in the front row if it had a little arm rail so he can hold on to. But he said he moved up this far, so we're good right here. But if there's nobody sitting in the front row, I can't make disciples of the people in the front row. You can't make disciples out of people who aren't there. A disciple is a follower. If you're not going and getting them, you're not going to follow you. If you're not showing them that you care, they're not going to follow you. If you're not speaking to them on their level, you're not going to have them follow you. And this is the last one. You ready? If you're not leading by example, they won't follow you. Here's the thing. I love you, buddy. Here's the thing. You have to lead by example. When you go, that is you leading by an example. If it was just me, or it was just Pastor Tommy going, at least somebody decided to pick up the time and go out the door and do it. Because guess what? It doesn't always have to be the pastor. It doesn't always have to be the youth pastor or the worship leader that does it. But when one person decides to follow God, that one person can put 1,000 to flight. Then the person that follows behind them is 10,000. The person that follows behind them is 100,000. I could keep going. That's a lot of math. But I could keep going. But it takes one person. One person to start something different. You want to see Chillicothe be different? Go out and talk to somebody that you would never talk to when you go out to Walmart tomorrow. Pastor Tommy is at Walmart every day. I am not kidding. I will call him on the phone. What are you doing? Going to Walmart? What are you doing? I'm in Walmart checking out. Where are you at? I'm in the men's section of Walmart looking for a new belt. He's always at Walmart. If you go somewhere all the time, they probably know your name by now. He walks in. Hello, Mr. Sandifer. How are you today? I'm good. Thanks for asking. Here's your cart. It's got your name on it. We walked into Applebee's today after church, and Aiden goes, our server is Jennifer. Oh, okay. Thanks. And then he's calling her by Jen the whole time. Like, I'm like, does he go here often? Is he always here? Or, you know, but if you go somewhere often, you know people. This is not a big town. I hear it all the time. Small towns, everybody knows you. If everybody knows you, do they know you for good things or for bad things? Do they know you because they see you out there shining your light to people? Or do they know you because that's the person that talks about everybody? That's the person that goes around and picks on this person and talks about that person. If you want to know dirt, you go to this guy. Now, I'm going to steal a line from a pastor that I used to go to their church. That's nobody in this church, okay? That's what he would say. He said, I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about that other church, right? But here's what we have to get. If we're not showing Jesus in this building to the people that come in here, the people that come in here, I'm going to tell you something. Those people are practice. That's easy. That's like watching Yadier Molina, or who's a good Kansas City person, because I don't know any good players in Kansas City. Oh, that was funny. That's like walking up and saying, here's a touchdown, giving it straight to the other team and saying, here you go, there's a free touchdown. Because when you come and you get the ball on the 1 yard line and you just go, bloop, there's the touchdown. That's like having the person walk straight in the door and come up to the altar. That's easy. I could wait all day for that, but guess what? I know I'm not going to get the ball on the 1 yard line to get an easy touchdown. I know that they're going to give me the ball on the 1 yard line on the other side of the field, and I'm going to have to march my butt all the way down there to get to it. And there's going to be opposition in my way. That's why it's called offense and defense. There's going to be somebody trying to hold me up. But guess what? It only takes one, and this is so funny. The call that they make this is so funny. There's a pass in football where the quarterback snaps the ball. He takes the ball and he throws it as far as he can down the field. You know what it's called? It's called a Hail Mary. You don't get more religious than football than that. You throw a Hail Mary. You guess what? I'm going to throw something. I'm going to throw it down the field, and I'm going to hope that my guy catches it. And when he does, we're all going to go crazy. But if he doesn't attempt to throw the ball, he's never going to know if the guy will catch it. If we don't go outside of these doors and bring people in here, we're not going to see them come walking right up every time. The church will grow in number. The church will grow in spirit. And the church will grow financially when we finally decide that it's time for us to stop waiting for them to walk in here and go out and get them. I like that amen corner over there. That's really kind of cool. Wow. Last one. Last point, I'm done. I've probably gone way long. And oh, dude, it's only 7:30. We're good. I'm going to tell you now. I'm used to like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. I mean, 6 a.m. We're good, man. We got it. The last one is this, verse 16. If you can go back to Mark verse 16, it should be a separate slide on its own. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Whoever believes will be saved. All they have to do is believe. It doesn't take poking and prodding and twisting an arm and pulling legs and jerking them around by their neck and pulling them by their shirt. It doesn't take all that. All they have to do is believe. You go, they believe. Now watch this. This is the best one. Go to verse 17. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, and they will speak in new tongues. When we go and we get them saved because Jesus has shown us what to do and they get saved, then all of a sudden they become disciples. They become carriers of what we just deposited in them. And then they go out and do the same thing that we just did. They become carriers of the Spirit and they speak in new tongues. They become carriers of who Jesus is and demons will flee. They become carriers of the Word and we start seeing healings. You want to see miracles, signs, and wonders? Go out there, bring them in, and see if God doesn't start doing something. The people that we go and we minister to become living testimonies of who God is. And guess what? You may talk to that guy in Walmart or that lady at the grocery store, and you don't know who she's connected to. You may talk to the lady who you think she's just an average person. You may go and talk to Average Joe and find out that Average Joe's brother owns an oil rig somewhere and he got saved and he says, you know what? I want to bless the church that helped you get right with God. You don't know. You have no clue what it's going to look like. But guess what? God knows. So our job isn't to worry about the details. Our job is to just go. Our job is to go. Amen? We can't sit inside the four walls and wait for them to come. We got to go. Your work, your school, your family, your friends, you want a mission field? There it is. You didn't even ask for it. God gave it to you when you were born. When you went to that job, you thought, I'm going to this job because I make good money or because I like to do it or because I don't like to do it, but I still just got to have money. Aiden, you go to Walmart and work every day. Guess what? That is a mission field. When that old lady can't reach up and grab the stuff on the top shelf and you grab it for her because you're tall, that's a mission field. You grab that for her and you say, here you go, have a good day, God bless you, and turn around. You know what? She's going to look at you and go, wow, that's a teenager telling me, God bless you. I'm going to give you guys an example. Give you just a little detail. You ready? When young people surprise old people, okay? And I'm saying old, like really old. None of, like I said, nobody in here. That other church. Except for Tommy. J-Bay's pointing at Pastor Tommy. But when you young people, when you surprise an older person, all that does is get them excited on the inside. All that does is go, I want to go back to Walmart and find Aiden. Because Aiden helped me. And when Aiden helps me, it makes me feel good because I know that Aiden is doing what he's asked to do, not because I'm asking him to do something, but because God's laid on his heart to do something. And you don't know what that does to somebody. Because all of a sudden, that older lady who can't reach what she's got is on her knees praying for Aiden every night. And she's going to God for you, that he will bless you. And when the blessing comes, you go, oh my gosh, I wasn't expecting this. But it was because you went and did one thing and somebody else said, God needs to bless them. Don't worry about the finances. It'll come. Don't worry about how it's going to happen. It'll come. When we resigned our last position, my wife looked at me and I said, I don't know what we're going to do, but I feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. And she goes, don't worry about it. God will take care of it. I'm going to tell you. Sometimes I feel like it's cutting it really stinking close. I almost said really short, but really stinking close sounds better. But you know, God's got it in control. He's going to do it. He's going to handle it. It's His time. All I have to do is be obedient to the word. And the word is go. If you go, He'll do it. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? I'm closing.